Federal contractors know to wind up their summer vacations early so they can get ready for September. That's the month when, by some estimates, the government spends 17% of its contracting dollars. Is it too late already? We get more from Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And Larry, the 17% does kind of coincide with years and years of data showing how much money does go out in the fiscal fourth. Is it too late to get in on that bonanza?
It's not too late to get in on that bonanza, Tom, so long as you are a company that has some prospects in the pipeline. If you're just coming into the market and deciding now that you're going to be a government contractor for the month of September, that's going to be a pretty steep hill to climb indeed. Not out of the question that you get some opportunities, but it's going to be a very hit-or-miss type of proposition. However, if you're a company that's been in the market and you've been tracking opportunities and you've probably done some business before, so you've established your bona fides, it's not too late at all. This is a good time to be focusing on the things that you really think you can bring home with the agencies that you have the best relationships with.
Does most of this spending that happens, well, fourth quarter, but primarily September, does it mostly go through multiple award vehicles where it's easier for the government to get a task order or a purchase order done?
Tom, there are a couple of main ways that federal buyers buy when the days in the fiscal year are getting short. And certainly multiple award contracts are a primary vehicle. Some industry estimates show that only 35% of all multiple award business is conducted in the fourth quarter of the fiscal year. That speaks, I think, to the popularity of these vehicles. It speaks to the ease of use, and it speaks to the speed with which you can use a multiple award vehicle to fulfill your need. Another popular way that agencies buy during the fourth quarter is via small businesses. Be thinking about what are the quick ways that the government can get a large number of task orders out the door. That's really what's relevant here. There's just so much going on, and it's not like there are certain extra people that in contracting that the government can suddenly call up off the bench, you know, promote them from AAA Syracuse. They've got to make do with the workforce they have. So small businesses are another way that agencies move a lot of work this time of year. Again, ease of use, short acquisition cycles, and the benefit of meeting their socioeconomic goals.
And for small businesses, though, they have their own GWACs, like Alliant, to, you know, small business. And so it's the same kind of dynamic apply that even for small business, it's the multiple award contract programs that that offer the least friction.
Well, certainly that's a double benefit, Tom. It's a twofer. You get a chance to use a streamlined acquisition vehicle and go with a small business that can help you meet your agency's small business use need. And, of course, these multiple award contracts generally have better small business use rates than open market procurements. So small business multiple award contracts can be a very good deal for the businesses that have them.
And is the business that happens in the fourth quarter equally divided between products and services the way it is throughout the year? Because it used to be, it was always printers and copies of software and PCs, really stuff that went through in the fourth quarter. But as the government shifts to more services, do those also get big in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the short answer to that is yes, Tom. In the last couple of years, the companies in the service sector that I've worked with have been just as busy as product companies right up to the last day of the fiscal year. That's a phenomenon that we probably didn't see 6 or 7 years ago. Traditionally, as you pointed out, end-of-year buys, particularly those last 2 weeks in September, are very product-laden, and there certainly are a lot of products that are bought then. However, it's no longer true that it's just products. Government agencies will contract for professional services right up to the last day of the fiscal year, and that keeps companies, no matter what they're offering, busy.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and I wanted to ask you about something else you've written about this week, and that is the fact that conflict of interest rules and issues are very much alive and well. What's going on that you see?
Well, Tom, conflict of interest has been a traditional area in government contracting that's kind of ebbed and flowed. We saw about 3 or 4 years ago a huge emphasis placed on organizational conflicts of interest, for example. And government contractors went out of their way to put up firewalls and separate themselves from different business units if they felt they had to in order to avoid organizational conflict issues. And then suddenly, conflict of interest kind of faded back into the general background of government contracting. But it moved to the front row again in a case where Northrop Grumman has filed a protest arguing conflict of interest over a contract award that the Army made in terms of DHS made, rather. Northrop specifically filed a protest on a procurement made by DHS with the original award going to Raytheon, and Northrop's case argued that Raytheon had an unfair advantage because it had a DHS former official working for it, and that created a conflict of interest. So my point about writing it is that this is a cautionary tale on hiring former feds. Look, it's not a bad practice to hire former feds. In fact, a lot of government contractors do that. But it's also important, Tom, to ensure that everyone sticks to the rules on information and interaction and what former feds are allowed to do and when they're allowed to do it. Look, the bottom line on this protest, as we talk, it's not yet been resolved, but regardless of whether Raytheon had an unfair advantage, they're paying thousands of dollars in legal fees just to protect their interests, and it's a distraction. So whether it's an organizational conflict of interest or a more basic conflict of interest issue, contractors have to be aware of what they can do that can get themselves into trouble. You don't want current business, for example, to preclude you from conducting future business, and that can certainly happen if you're not careful.
You probably also have to be careful about hiring people from other contractors. Suppose you hire someone from a contractor who helped develop an RFQ that you are then bidding on. If you bring that person over from that company, you could also end up with an organizational conflict of interest.
You certainly could, Tom, and that's an excellent point. It's not just former federal officials. It can be company, somebody that you hire from a competing company that had a role in, as you mentioned, developing a specific procurement, or somebody that, you know, may even have a relative in that contracting office. We've seen some stories in the press about that as well. These are all things that can impact a government contractor. Look, one of my favorite lines in recent movies is from Night in the Museum 2, where General Custer said, "Look, we're Americans, we plan, we don't plan, we do. We're Americans, we don't plan, we do." And that was played for laughs. But my point in talking about organizational conflicts of interest is to make sure that companies plan so that the last laugh isn't on them.
Good advice for the long, hot summer. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, appreciate it.
Tom, thank you very much, and I wish your listeners happy selling.
Read his blog and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.